Everything gonna be all right this morning.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, locked and loaded once again for another episode for the archives. It's me speaking to you, Jeffrey Wilson, coming to you live and direct on this year of our Lord 2024, a lovely March 20th. Spring has just kicked off right here in St. Louis, and it's still cold, but really looking forward to this conversation today, ladies and gentlemen. This young man's name, I can guarantee you, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when you begin to hear his name and see him under those lights. I was, you know, my good friend Mike White, shout out to my man Michael White, told me to get a hold of this young man's coach, John Simon. We had an interesting conversation to set this up. Man, flyweights, look out, because this kid is coming to wreck shop. He just made his professional debut last year for Anthony Pettis Fighting Championship, came away with a very impressive first-round victory over a cat that was a whole grown-ass man. This young man is, Austin is 20 years old, 21 now, and fought a gentleman in his 30s and really just put a wrecking on him in the very first round. Six fights, one professional fight. Five of the six have come from submission, so his ground game, ladies and gentlemen, is stout. He is taking a little time today to come chop it up before he steps back into the cage for Shogun Fights 28 Pro MMA Saturday, March 30th. Thank you for taking time to chop it up, man. How are you doing?
Austin. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Every day above ground's a good day, Mr. Austin Hall. The Skywalker, and we can get into that too, because I too am a huge Star Wars head. I love a good origin story, man. And, you know, having met some cats in the game, you know, some Hall of Famers, if you will, Jens Pulver, Pat Miletich, work with him exclusively. Not everybody's cut out for this game. And it usually is very different motivating factors which get people into the game. When did the bug bite you, and what got you into it?
It's a funny story about how I got started. So I was a troublesome kid. A couple of people recommended my parents get me into some sports to try and burn off some energy. And on the way to a football practice, I met my coach at a CC's Pizza for lunch. And then about a week later, I showed up for the first class. And haven't looked back since then. I was probably about 7 years old at that time.
And it was just, what was it about when coach met you at the CC's? Did he know of you, or did you know of him? Did you guys just happen to start chopping it up and talking about MMA, or what was it?
Yeah. My old man was a huge MMA fan back in the day. He saw his cauliflower ears, and he asked him if he trained. When he told my dad his name, me not really knowing too much at that time, I thought he was John Fitch at first. He's not, but I ended up showing up and just training after that. My old man was super big on it.
And so, if I'm correct, since you were 7 years old, man,
yeah,
and you're 20 and 21 now. Did you start out just full on MMA, or did you have a certain background in wrestling or jiu-jitsu, or has it always been MMA?
It's always been MMA. I started MMA. When you're young, it's hard to compete in MMA. So I competed in jiu-jitsu as a kid.
Sure.
We kept training, and it wasn't until I was probably a brown belt that I started pulling full time in MMA to where I can compete strictly here and put the jiu-jitsu a bit on the back burner.
Yeah. Well, and you have, this is going to be your second professional fight. How has your world changed? I know a lot of, you know, like you say, every fight is just another fight. You look at them as UFC champions, every single one of them. How's your world changed since turning pro? Is it just another day at the office?
Yeah. The only thing that changes from AMI to pro is the time spent on the mat. That's all.
Right. You know?
Nothing really changed. Same pressure, same intensity. We train for everybody like it's Alejandro Pantoja.
There you go. Yeah, and if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And so, you know, in the game, you know, obviously you've been fighting kind of you're from Virginia, correct?
Yes.
And your next fight coming up is going to be in that same neck of the woods, Hanover, Maryland. Am I correct?
Yep.
Okay. Talk to us a little bit about your opponent, man.
My opponent's Cody Matthews. He's a solid wrestler. He's a good grappler. He's got more experience than I am, and I'll give him that. Going into the fight, you know, we're gonna grapple. He's a grappler. I'm a grappler. As much as he wants to ride on the knockouts, he's a wrestler at heart. And, you know, the moment everything gets tough, we all go back to our roots, right? So we're gonna end up grappling.
And you're not scared to stay on the feet, though, right? I mean, all of your, like I said, 5 or 6 of your fights have ended in submission, and the other one was a decision. I mean, you're obviously well-rounded everywhere, but you're not scared to throw some hands.
Nah, not at all.
And that's the other thing, man. It's going to be great to watch your career. Just a little bit I've seen, I'm just like absolutely blown away, sir. And you have something, it's kind of one of those, not necessarily inquantifiable, but it's hard to teach. The level of confidence and belief that you have in yourself. Obviously, success kind of breeds more success and kind of, you know, makes you start feeling yourself. Is that what it is? Just you've been being so successful at what you do. Where does that confidence and technically that kind of swag come from?
You do it forever, you know. I don't know anything other than fighting. So
right.
You know, when people start to ask, it just happens naturally, you know. I've been fighting for as long as I can remember, so when I go out there, it's just another day. I look at no different than everybody else looks at going to work.
Right. You live and breathe it. I mean, you can tell, man. You can tell. And it's, you know, just having studied the game for so long. Just studied. I wrestled and stuff, but I hate to even say I did it when I'm talking to people who could really, really do it on an elite level. Your ground game is absolutely amazing. And one of those things, I always say success leaves clues, and I don't know how much you've picked up on this, or it's just a part of your ground game. When I see you get people to the ground, you're automatically locking legs up. Like, you're like this flyweight Khabib Nurmagomedov that just, like, is just dominating people on the ground. Talk to us a little bit about that, your ground game, and how you just locked it in and dialed it in the way you have.
You know, you keep it real simple. Everybody needs their feet to stand up. So if I can stop you from getting your feet to the mat, you can't stand up anymore. And then I get free range to punch you in the face because I'm using my legs to tie up your legs, and then my hands are free.
Well, yeah. I mean, I highly suggest, ladies and gentlemen, he's got a couple of his amateur fights and definitely his pro debut. I mean, and you could see why. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, obviously, you've been training for a long time, ironing, sharpening iron for a very long time. But at such a young man, your skill set is just so, I mean, obviously, you're very well-rounded, but the way you execute and the way your ground game is so clean, you will see, ladies and gentlemen, why you will be hearing the name Austin Hall in the future without a shadow of a doubt, man. What, I know most fighters want to stay focused. I'm just focusing on the next fight. But, you know, are you looking, what are your plans for possibly the next several, you know, 3 to 5 years in the game? What are your plans, bro?
I just want to keep winning. That's all. You put somebody in front of me, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to take the fight however it comes to me. I'm going to get a win, and we're going to move on to the next guy. Like, as long as I'm fighting, that's always the objective.
Okay.
Just keep winning.
And keep beating do you want to – obviously, with your level of success is going to bring bigger fights to me. Are you eyeballing some UFC action?
Yeah, always. That's the final goal at the end of the day.
Who's some of your I know it's kind of a very subjective term, if you will, the Mount Rushmore. Who are people you look up to? Does it transcend just your division? Who are some of the fighters that are really just admired over the years?
Well, obviously, you know, the first guys to come out are, you know, the grapplers, you know, the Khabibs of the world. They're phenomenal. I always look to model my game after theirs as much as I can, because they smash everybody.
Yeah, they do.
And I like guys like Demetrius Johnson was one of my biggest idols growing up. He's a little guy.
Yeah.
But he was able to do everything. There was no point where he was outclassed at any point range of the fight. He can strike with everybody. He can wrestle with everybody. So he's a big one. And then I like to take influences from other sports. Jordan Burroughs from wrestling is a good guy. Mm. I steal a lot of his techniques from guys like Vasyl Lomachenko. So I try to take everything I can from everybody and, you know, put it together in my own package, make it work for me.
Yeah, and it clearly seems to be working, man. It clearly seems to be working. And, you know, it's something I've asked fighters, man. It was back in the day, I guess I kind of call it the McGregor effect, and the ability to go in and kind of talk your way into bigger fights. I remember Chael Sonnen lost against Anderson Silva, and then basically kind of talked his way into a light heavyweight fight with Jon Jones. And that's just kind of indicative of how the game has changed. It's not so much about the ranking so much. It's more kind of about not super fights, but fights that people want to see. What are your thoughts on that, on how the rankings somewhat are secondary to kind of those more sizzle fights, and then fighters' role in being able to market themselves up by talking up their dollars? Do you feel that should or shouldn't be kind of a part of the game? Should it all just be merit-based, or is there room for kind of this WWE aspect of promoting oneself?
at the end of the day, our job is to put on a show. We go out there, we beat the snot out of people.
You can cuss, it's all right.
Come out and watch, you know. So I ain't got no problem with it. As long as you win, you tell everybody how good you are.
Right.
How I won, that I'm going to win. And they'll do the same thing.
I love it, man. I love it. So, Austin Hall, you got your work cut out for you here coming in March 30th, 6:30 p.m. I didn't want to keep you too long, you know, short and sweet, kind of like your fights, brother, man. I am looking forward to seeing you grow in your career. Like I said, your skills are just, you clearly have put in the work, man. You clearly have put in the work.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Any social networking, where can we find you, track you down, man?
You can find me on Instagram at American Grappler. That's American without an A, American Grappler on Instagram.
American Grappler. All right, Austin Hall, man, it has been a pleasure. And obviously, you are welcome back anytime. Like I said, I'd be anxious to track your success, my friend. Like I said, March 30th, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the neck of the woods of Hanover, Maryland, Shogun Fight Pass 28 Pro MMA is going to be putting on some shows. And I think if I looked at the card, you guys are kicking the show off that night.
Yep, we're going to open it up with a bang.
That's what's up, man. Austin Hall, peace and so much love. Continued success, my friend.
All right.